Welcome back to another week of Just Jocin. I am half of your host, Sabrina Hannon.
And I'm the other half, Jasmine Heron. This week, we are going to be discussing seasons three, episodes 13 and 14, which is The Zeppo and Bad Girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And both of these are definitely arc episodes.
Which is strange because the Zeppo is an arc episode that does not feel like an arc episode.
No,
it's an arc episode from the sidelines.
Definitely. And it also, so when Nicholas Brandon read this script, he actually cried because of what it means for Xander and Xander's character. It's a big turning point for him. Which does inform who Xander is for the rest of Buffy, basically. Mm-hmm. But because we're not in it, right, with the rest of the Scoobies, really. We're only getting glimpses of it. It just seems so bizarre, and, like, the acting seems so, like, overdone and dramatic for no reason with the, like, music with the violins and like drama. I was like, yeah, this has to be what people feel like if they just like snap in for a little piece of Buffy, and then they're like, hell is this, and they snap back out.
So yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because we see a lot of the snippets of scenes that when we are in those episodes with that great drama, like we just came out of Amends, mm-hmm. and you know, there's the big dramatic like love confession talk with, you know, Buffy and Angel, and then when we kind of got another snippet of that here, but it's like the awkward, like, you know, Xander stepping in with his awkward little cough, right?
And an interesting fact, this episode was nominated for an Emmy for outstanding makeup in a series.
Because of which makeup was it?
It was just this episode itself was nominated. I'm assuming it was for the zombie guys and for the demons.
Sisters.
Yeah, that's my guess, but it didn't say. It wasn't like Willow's makeup was really spot on this episode.
Although Willow's episode makeup is really spot on this. I mean, we start out with them in this like underground kind of cave system, and you know, everybody's like stalking, and we've got Faith and we've got Buffy, and then we see Willow chanting, and then poor Xander gets smacked.
And Giles is there too, but he's actually fighting. We don't know Xander is there until the fight's over and he gets up from under some debris.
Yep.
And they're talking about how, because they're like, what do we do with these demon bodies? And Giles is like, I think we can actually just leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, yeah. Just like, oh, fertilizer. But they're talking about how the demons are rowdy. So there's something stirring them up, and sure enough, like we come to find out that it turns out to be an apocalypse, which will be the third apocalypse they've had to deal with. And
third or fourth? I mean, so okay, we've got like the harvest. The harvest was supposed to be the initial apocalypse. That didn't happen. Then there was the Master Rising.
Well, I'm talking about where the apocalypse actually starts to happen. Mm-hmm. So when the Master rises and the demon comes out, and yep. then we have when Angel and Akathla
yep.
Open the portal to hell, and then this episode where yep. the demon's like, again. Everyone in this episode is very concerned about Xander, and it's something that we're going to continue to hear now that Willow has crossed over into I can help in supernatural ways. Mm-hmm. Xander is the only I mean, Giles is human too, but he does witchcraft and is the librarian who has all of this knowledge, and that is his power. Whereas Xander's power is buying the snacks.
Yes, yes.
Which is important.
And so we see the next day, Xander is awkwardly trying to get people to throw him a football. Like, and I don't understand why he's so eagerly trying to do that. But then Cordelia, you know, lays into, well, first of all, he bumps into Jack O'Toole, who is like this scary outcast guy that we've never heard of before, but is the criminal element.
Yes.
And then Cordelia starts laying into Xander. And she's been making some comments lately. Like, she's been showing up a little bit more, kind of working her way back into the group. But here she is, you know, laying into Xander. And as we saw in Amends, you know, she now knows where his weak points are. She is able to target in on it. And so in Amends, she talks about, like, his family issues. And here again, she's saying, you're the odd man out. Mm-hmm. You're the Zeppo. And
yeah. And then, so then we go to the next scene where Xander is, like, grilling Oz for what the essence of cool is, mm-hmm. and how Oz has the cool and what it is. And Oz is, I have to give credit to Oz, because, like, he's very nice about Xander in general. I don't, that is not something that would generally be expected of most people to have to put up with. But Oz does it with grace, I think probably because they're in so many life or death situations. Mm-hmm. But Oz, you know, tells Xander he's putting way too much thought into this. And he has to just find the thing that he has that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what Xander gloms onto. Yes. And Oz actually says, well, you have a fun new mantra or obsession. Yep. And this is now Xander is trying to find his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we pop over to the library, and it is the end of the world.
Again.
Yeah. And Buffy and Giles are chatting, and Oz cuts it really close to werewolf time. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think he gets in, and like, within 2 minutes, he's like, ruff.
Yes, yes. And Giles makes a comment, just cutting it close, and Oz is like, yeah, you know me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Oz is, as a werewolf, in his werewolf form, is very agitated as well. Like, he is much more, like, riled up, and Willow makes the comment a little bit later on, I think I'm skipping ahead, but that, you know, dogs can sense when, like, earthquakes are coming. Is this kind of the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the Hellmouth will be opening up in this room that he is in. And so Willow's outfit in this, it appears that she's wearing pajamas, but they're not. And I was like, why is Willow wearing pajamas? Oh my God, I remember wearing like things that looked like pajamas, like pajama pants, but they weren't. And going, I mean, they totally were. You could wear them as pajamas. They were just sold as not pajamas. Mm-hmm. Going to like school in them. And I had completely forgotten about that. I was like, she's not in college yet. Why is she wearing pajama pants to school?
And now we're in 2020 and just everyone wears pajama pants all the time.
Yep, to work because you're in your home. Oh, stretchy pants. 2020 is the year of the stretchy pant.
Yep. So Xander decides that his thing is going to be that he is car guy. And so he borrows a car from his Uncle Rory, who has so many DUIs.
Yep.
Let's drive for a while, so he's just borrowing his Uncle Rory's, you know, car in the meantime.
And it's not just any car, it's a 57 Chevy Bel Air. Like, if you're a car person, that's a sexy car. Mm-hmm. And he, I mean, as it's illustrated later on, but like when he pulls up, I was just like, dang, like he would get noticed in that car. And it's running. It's not like it's in good shape.
Yep.
For an alcoholic, Rory has some priorities, it seems, which is keeping the car in good shape.
And so earlier, Cordelia had said that the only thing that he's good for is getting snacks. And when Xander meets Buffy and Willow and he realizes that there's something big going on, he's like, I'm here for you. What do you need? And we cut to him getting snacks, getting donuts. And of course, Cordelia sees him and she starts laying into him again. But then we see this girl, Lizette.
I didn't catch her name.
She shows up and she is like, ooh, sexy car. I'm a car girl. And Xander is like, you know, peace, Cordelia. I'm going off with this hot girl. We got to just drop off these donuts. Mm-hmm. And then
And then poor Xander. He winds up, like, we see him at the Bronze with this girl. By the way, this episode, he's wearing a shit ton of jewelry. Like, I don't know what's up with that. He has on that stupid gold chain, a gold bracelet that matches, and a ring. And I'm just like, take all of that off. All of it.
Cool.
Not cool. Very old man in the mafia. But he is so bored by this woman that when Angel walks in, Xander jumps up and goes, buddy! And that should tell us all right there how desperate Xander is to get away from this woman.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, do you need help? I'll do whatever you want. And Angel's like, no, I'm looking for Buffy. You need to stay safe, Xander. And Xander's just like, why?
And so he goes back outside with Lizette, and he accidentally drives into a parked car because he's distracted. And it's Jack. And Jack pulls out Katie, his giant knife.
Like Crocodile Dundee size knife. It may actually be a machete. Like, that is the length of it.
Well, I just love, like, you know, Xander is great with quipping. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something that he picked up from Buffy or if that's just always been his thing. But he keeps talking about Katie, you know? He says, what's the difference between the two of us? It's like, Katie comes to mind. And he's like, mainly I'm just feeling Katie.
Yeah, I mean, in the first episode, Xander has some good quips. I mean, we don't have a lot of Xander. Xander has a decent amount of lines, I guess, but he does say some funny things in the first episode of Buffy, specifically when he finds her steak. So I think he's always had that. He tends to get funnier, though, the worse off a situation is. Like, he may have the darkest of humors. Because he, like, when things get real ick, or real bad, he's there with, like, ha-ha, here's a funny line, my life is in danger. He's really got that down. But, yeah, so, Jack O'Toole, he has this knife, he gives it to Xander at one point because he says the difference between them is fear. Mm-hmm. And then he takes the knife off of Xander and pushes Xander down onto it. And like, looks like he's about to stab Xander until a cop comes up. And Xander doesn't narc on him, says they were just wrestling, but not in a gay way.
Yeah. Just letting off steam, a little wrestling between you guys.
And this is how Xander earns his cool stripe with Jack O'Toole, who's totally someone that you want to hang out with. It's decided that Jack O'Toole is going to go with Xander and Rando Girl. And they hop into Xander's car because the car that O'Toole had was not his. He was stealing it.
Yep.
So he was getting pissed off about a car that wasn't even his.
He just wanted to kill someone.
Yeah, yeah. So with this, they go off and O'Toole starts raising his friends from the dead. And when that happens,
stars to align.
Yeah. The girl runs off screaming. And Xander's just like, well, I'm not surprised by this, really. And of course, Giles also happens to be there, trying to talk to spirit guides, which I'm thinking are the powers that be.
Yeah, I think so, because he talks about them being outside of the realm of time and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is an early powers that be. But Giles is not listening to Xander at all. Also, because Xander very much so says when Giles is like, oh, like death is in the air. And he's like, oh, I think that's just Larry or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
Big Bob.
Big Bob, yeah.
There's Big Bob, and then there's Larry, and...
I mean, it could be...
It was Dickie.
Yeah, so he completely brushes that off, where you would think that he'd be like, wait, I'm sorry, did you say there's dead people with you? Like, uh-huh. Red alert. But he doesn't, and he wanders on off. And then Buffy finds Willie, and he has been attacked. Which is unusual that it's not like Buffy just pummeling for information. And like, it's not, he hasn't just been roughed up a little bit. Like, he may not live.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says, like, my clientele, you know, is like rough, but not like this. And they were looking for Angel and Buffy, like the people that did this, or creatures that did this to him.
Mm-hmm. The Sisters of Jay, the Sisterhood of Jay.
Mm-hmm. But Buffy calls him an ambulance, and Willie says, you know, if I were you, I would find Angel and go somewhere quiet. And it's just like, no, that's another way for trouble to start.
Yes.
But at this point, we realize that O'Toole is clearly in a gang. Like, this is all of these people, because they talk about their rivals to be like, oh yeah, I killed them back, or mm-hmm. And it's just like, Sunnydale has gangs too. Like, this is the first time we're hearing that.
Yes, although we'll come up again in the next episode. Again, like, Xander is just kind of like, okay, now I'm the wheel guy for these zombies. Who are talking about wanting to bake a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And they break into a hardware store, and he's like, oh, crime, I'm involved in crime now. And then he sees Willow, and Willow's just like, you be safe, you stay out of the way, like, you have a quiet night.
And, mm-hmm. And she gives Xander a hug, and she was there just, you know, buying more stuff from the magic shop. She also does not notice that there's a break-in that has just happened.
Right in front of them.
Yep. But yeah, Willow's very cryptic. That is a running theme of everyone this episode. when the gang members come out of the undead gang members, when they come out of the hardware store, they say like, oh, Xander doesn't feel like he's part of the gang, we should initiate him. And that's when he finds out, to be part of the gang, you gotta be dead. And O'Toole is dead as well.
But he was only down for 3 days. So
minutes when his, okay. Yeah, he wasn't even, no one knew he died because his grandpappy found him.
And apparently had to wait for the stars to align. So while the stars were aligned, he's able to raise his other friends who've been down for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Which is why he's in much better shape than they are.
Yep. So of course, Xander distracts them and runs in a big old circle and then jumps back in his car. Which kind of reminded me of, have you seen what is the movie about how to survive the apocalypse? Is it Zombieland?
I haven't seen that, no.
There's a guy who's like trying to get in his car, but like the zombies are chasing him, so he just runs away from his car and then runs back to his car because the zombies are so slow that like he just has to, and slow and dumb. Yeah. And I thought that was what that scene was. And so he gets in his car and he's driving away and he sees Faith, who was fighting off a Sisterhood of Jay demon.
Yep.
And he rescues her, and Faith, who has mentioned before that like fighting makes her hungry and horny, is like upset that she hasn't gotten to kill the demon and decides that she is going to take advantage of Xander.
Yeah. Yes. And so how Xander is not treating his uncle's car very well, because how he stops his demon is by hitting it with the car. This is the second thing or person, creature, he has hit already this evening. Uncle Rory is never lending him another damn thing. But yeah, so there's this sex scene with Xander and Faith that is very different than the one that we got with Buffy and Angel. And mainly you just see like a reflection in the motel TV.
Of the blanketed back, or of the back covered in a sheet.
Yes. And then they're done and she kicks him right on out.
Well, like, so there's this moment of like him smiling at her, and he kind of goes in for a nuzzle and she smiles at him, and then she's kicking him out.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So she kicks him right on out. Like, he's not even fully dressed. And he jumps into the car again. And as he is leaving, he rolls up on the zombie guys again.
Well, first he looks in the back of the car and sees that what they have are not ingredients to bake a cake.
Yeah,
they are ingredients
bombs.
Yep.
Yeah, and also while that is going on, Giles and Willow have been watching Oz, and Oz is going ape, and they have to move him because of the Hellmouth opening. So they have to trank him twice. With the gun, and he goes to sleep, and Willow locks him up. We're not told where at this point, but somewhere else. So Xander sees the zombie gang and grabs one of them and starts, you know, driving, asking him questions about where this bomb is, accidentally decapitating him along the way on a mailbox, as one may do.
Yep.
But so he doesn't know where exactly.
Well, they said the boiler.
I don't think they said where in the school. I thought they just said the school.
He said the school. He said it's in the boiler room. And Xander says, okay.
How do you defuse it?
How do you defuse it? But before he asks how to defuse it, that's when he decapitates Parker.
Yeah, so he's like, Buffy will know what to do. And that's when we cut to one of the most ridiculous scenes of Angel and Buffy and their conversation about how Angel's going to sacrifice himself. But it's just so over dramatized compared to like what we've been seeing. It's humorous. And it makes the acting seem really cheesy. I don't know if maybe it actually is really cheesy.
Again, it's that seeing it from the outside perspective. Yeah. And being like, wow, this is really dramatic. Whereas if you'd been in it the entire time, you know, it's not overly dramatic. It's the end of the world.
I feel like maybe they were given the directive of cheesing it up, though, because of, like, us coming in like that. But I would be interested to know if that were the case and said, like, add extra cheese here. Because these
sprinkling of mozzarella, a little mm-hmm. bit of parmesan.
Yes. Because it's getting increasingly cheesier as we go. This scene is the cheesiest that we've seen so far, but you know, this is the that you were talking about with Xander and him being like, I'll buy. And them just like looking at him, and then they turn back to each other and the music starts again. Cheese, extra cheese. But then we see that Giles is doing magic while the guys are, they've set the bomb in the boiler room for yep. 1 hour.
Yes.
So like not even a, they're not trying to kill people really. They're just trying to knock the school down. I mean, people might be in it, but it's not like they're setting it for a school day.
Yeah. They just want to blow up a school.
Yeah, normal stuff. And the boiler room, it seems like right below the library. That's how they make it seem.
Which is confusing to me, because then wouldn't that be where the Hellmouth is?
One would think. No, it just mystically comes up into the library. It's like, I desire knowledge.
But I think mentally it's not supposed to be like underneath. It just feels that way, like the way that they pan the camera, but that yeah. it's a separate part of the school. So when Xander goes so there's like these weird like cut scenes where like everyone's fighting and Xander's getting chased by the zombies, and then the next thing you see everyone is being running away because there's like the sisterhood showing
it's
up.
It's fantastic, like that whole thing is great. Like that, like it's such a classic comedy routine, but mm-hmm. it's still good. It never gets old. And they kill one of the zombies. Like you just see like a zombie. Xander takes out, I think, well, technically he takes out two. First one with the mailbox, and then by knocking the snack machine over onto the Bob. And then, yeah, the third one's taken out by the sisterhood, and yep. then Xander goes down to the boiler room, and some people probably picked up that, you know, O'Toole is missing. He's like, the smart thing to do is to go to where you know the person's trying to get to and be the last line of defense, really.
Yeah,
but I really love this scene with and I also love when the zombies are chasing Xander, and the one sees what's happening in the library and he's like, and then he's like, oh crap, and has to run. But when you see in the boiler room when Xander and O'Toole are having the conversation about the bomb, and O'Toole's like, I'm already dead, I have nothing to fear. And Xander's like, no, this isn't coming back from the dead. This is a janitor sweeping you up dead. You're just done. And Xander looks completely calm.
Yep.
Like, this is his superpower. He's really good under that kind of stress. And that's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Xander actually wants to die, but he, you know, he knows he's not going to be able to get out of there, and he's not going to be able to defuse this bomb on his own.
And he also knows that his friends are in the library.
Yeah.
He can't let the school blow up. They're there.
Yep.
And so I really love the juxtaposition of the drama that's happening in the library and then the quiet of the boiler room.
And Xander loves the quiet.
And that's what he said. He says, I love the quiet. I love the quiet life. And, you know, Jack defuses the bomb at the last moment. And Xander kind of says, like, good boy, I don't want to see you around anymore. And, of course, Jack is like, well, I'm going to get my revenge. But then opens up the door where Oz is no longer asleep. And Oz eats him.
Yep.
which we find out that he eats him the next day.
Yes, because Oz himself is oddly full.
Yep.
But I mean, that was a good place for Willow to stash Oz.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks in the Scoobies in the library defeat that bad. Xander defeats that bad, the other bad. Mm-hmm. And you have this end scene of the Scoobies who are in the library all sitting around, banged up, arms in slings, bandages, bruises, all talking about how no one will ever know what they did, and mm-hmm. da 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 da. And then up comes Xander, who doesn't have any bruises, but also is a hero that they will never know about because he doesn't tell them, but he goes to get more snacks. And Cordelia again sees him and tries putting him down. It doesn't bother Xander, though, this time. He doesn't correct her. He doesn't do anything. But, the look on his face just tells her, she's not getting to him, and she doesn't know what's different.
Yep.
Xander knows that he's different because he knows what his worth is now.
Yes. And that is so important. And I do think you're right. This is the start of a change in Xander, where Xander is becoming, more self-assured and also self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas before he's been a pretty shitty, teenage boy, and he will continue at times to be a pretty shitty teenage boy, but here he is finally developing. And yeah, so I think that's, it's good. It's good to see this. Mm-hmm. And
you meet for Xander to get to who he becomes, you need that, right? You need this episode. Also, this episode really seasons later when Nathan Fillion's character hurts Xander. It harkens back to this in a way. Mm-hmm. Xander still doesn't have any special powers.
Yeah, but he is one of our links as the viewer into the world.
Exactly.
And I think this episode does a really good job of showing, what it's like to be on the fringes of
the fringe, the
supernatural. So.
And then we're coming to what I'm sure is one of your favorite episodes, Jasmine. Bad girls.
I love this development for Faith. And the writer for this episode is Douglas Petrie, and he writes a lot of Faith-heavy episodes. He seems to have been the writer that came in for Faith.
Mm-hmm.
So he did Revelations, he does Bad Girls, he does Enemies, and then he does This Year's Girl, which is, the next season when Faith comes back. So, those heavy Faith episodes, he steps in on. And I think he does so well with that development and that, understanding of Faith's character.
Yeah. And an interesting fact from this episode is an early draft of the episode reveals that Willow's middle name is actually Danielle.
Oh.
Willow Danielle Rosenberg. I really feel like the middle name is a letdown, but her mm-hmm. parents suck, so. So we open up on this episode with Buffy and Faith getting their sleigh on. And Faith is, questioning Buffy about something that we're not quite sure of initially. Oh, come on, you're telling me you never. And then we find out after the sleigh is complete that they're talking about Xander and fooling around with Xander. And Buffy's like, absolutely not. I love Xander, but I don't love Xander.
And, of course, Faith's like, well, what does love have to do with it? Because
what's love got to do with it?
Because Faith just views men
mm-hmm.
as a fun little ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
stress relief. And so, you know, she keeps telling Buffy that Buffy thinks too much and she's using her head too much. And then Buffy's like, hey, there's still something we have to deal with in the cemetery. There's more vampires, using her head sort of thing. And Faith is just very wild, loose cannon. So we saw previously that Kendra was all training and books and this is this formation and this is this tactic. And Buffy said, I go with instinct. But then we see Buffy being the head and thought and plan, and Faith is just completely in the other, you know, direction, where she doesn't just go off of instinct. She likes the wildness of it.
She does it for the rush. Mm-hmm. Buffy still, I think, goes off of instinct. It's not necessarily like, but she's smart about it. Like, her instinct is, there's trouble over here. I'm going to attack that trouble in a way that's not going to get me dead. Whereas Faith is just like, I'm going to run around until I kill something. Different styles. But I think also for, and we can see that when they've had fights with the same demons or vampires, Buffy's usually the one that is able to come out on top, whereas Faith struggles. And it's because Faith also doesn't have necessarily a regard for her own life. Mm-hmm. I mean, with this, a couple of times we're going to see where Faith will jump into something knowing Buffy's behind her.
Yep.
And that definitely gives her an extra confidence boost, which if you're Buffy, I would want to just like smack her around a little. Which, yep. I mean, she does on occasion. But so we see Faith, you know, jump into danger here. And it's a vampire wearing a tunic, mm-hmm. With, you know, very distinct. And he has swords, a long and a short. Yep. And once they slay him, suddenly those swords are gone. And we find that Mr. Trick is super speedy and grab them.
Uh-huh. And brings them straight to the mayor.
Yeah.
And, you know, the mayor saying, let's keep an eye. We've got to watch out because of the dedication. And we see Alan. Well, first of all, we've got the entire conversation about Family Circle, Marmaduke, and Alan liking Kathy. Mm-hmm. And the awkward look from...
Trick, like, and oh, the mayor.
Yeah, oh yeah, you would like Kathy, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. But Alan recommends postponing the dedication, mm-hmm. and it is very obvious mayor does not like that.
It
and
you sucks. Find
Alan is getting nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Something going on with the mayor is making Alan nervous. And yeah. So, you know, then we go to the next day at school. Willow is being wooed with early acceptance letters from Harvard and Yale and Stanford and, you know,
everywhere.
The Ivies and then some.
I think Xander said every school that has a stamp is sending her stuff. And Willow loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Cordelia shows up and mocks Xander some more, mm-hmm. as one does if you're Cordelia.
But she's going out of her way now to interact with the group.
Yeah, she is.
Like, before she was just flat out avoiding them. Now she's going out of her way to drop some taunts, which is keeping her on the fringe of the group.
Well, once you've known that life, going back to your regular life has to be kind of boring. Mm-hmm. I would think. Especially, like, it's like Buffy says at one point that, you know, she knows what goes bump in the night. Once you know that, it's hard to go back to normal. So Buffy has to go to the library because there's something there that Giles said she needs to see. And it's Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Wyndham Bryce. And yep. Fresh from England, fresh with the stick in his bum.
And so this guy is played by Alexis Denisov, who is supposed to be, like, too old, and we will get into this later, supposed to be too old, but he eventually ends up marrying Allison Hannigan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
and he also, later on, will go on to play the weatherman, was it? Or not weatherman, it's like Sunny or Sandy, whatever, on How I Met Your Mother, because Allison Hannigan's on that, and there's lots of Buffy folks that come on through, her husband being one of them.
But we've got Wesley Windham Price, who is the new Watcher, and Buffy comes in, and she does her little snark thing. Is he evil? No, well, the last one was evil, you know, sort of thing. And Wesley is trying to be like, oh, well, you know, a good slayer's always on his guard. And then Faith shows up and goes, new Watcher. And they're like, new Watcher. And she's like, screw that. And she just walks away. Like, nope.
And I love that Wesley's so proud of himself for having slayed two vampires himself under controlled circumstances, of course. And Giles is like, woo freaking who? Like, we've lost count on all of the vampires and demons that Giles has slain. Not only that, but he was definitely doing some of this stuff prior to being a Watcher.
Yep.
So Wesley is impressing no one, except for Cordelia, a little bit later on.
Yep. And so, although I do like this point where Wesley and Giles both take off their glasses and clean them at the same time.
And Giles sees it and is, like, not happy that they're doing it at the same time. He's like, great.
But anyways, Wesley tells Buffy, he tasks Buffy with going to go get the Amulet of Balthazar because the Order of Balthazar is looking for the amulet. That's who the sword people are.
Yes.
But he insists that Balthazar is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so Buffy is going to go check out the graveyards. It was the was of Glebe? Was the
yeah, something like that.
And
but yeah, Faith, of course, when Buffy goes to be like, hey, come on. She's like, no, I'm not letting him take the fun out of slaying, and neither should you. Why should we listen to him? And Faith has points in this.
Mm-hmm.
She is not wrong that the council should not be behaving in the way that the council is behaving. No one freaking monitors the council. And they're not the ones putting their necks on the lines all the time.
And they refused to help last episode when the world was ending.
Yep.
They wouldn't even take Giles's call. Now, we do see this in season five. With Glory, when Buffy realizes that the council is full of, you know,
garbage.
Yep.
The council is garbage.
But until then, you know, Buffy still follows the company line. She resists her own way because they're all over in England and she's, you know, on the Hellmouth. But Faith has some points. But at the same time, Buffy's like, but we should probably go check out this amulet thing. Like, usually when stuff like this turns up, it means there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, Buffy's doing it, if for no other reason than to, like, for her calling. Like, she believes in that. She doesn't necessarily believe in the council. And them terminating Giles really, like, drives that home for her that...
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work. So Buffy goes out on the mission and she tries the first little tomb, slides it open, no luck. Slides open the second one, there's the amulet, but she hears and sees the vamps coming and a bunch of them. So she jumps in and hides. And closes the tomb on the first thing. They come in, they don't care if anyone else is there, they just rip off the amulet, and away they go. Problem. Faith, however, didn't want to leave Buffy hanging. Or maybe just thought she would be missing out on a good time. So she shows up right after the vamps, and her and Buffy go after them. Literally jumping down into a sewer, where again, Faith is just like, you gotta come after me. I might die. And of course, Buffy is like, I have to go after you. You might die.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's not Faith that almost dies. It's Buffy.
Yep. They try to drown her and she hates it when they drown her. But Buffy does get the rush that Faith is talking about, the adrenaline rush and the endorphins, she gets it.
Yeah.
And she actually finds that she's enjoying it, to the point that, like, Faith is like, let's leave. And Buffy's like, no, let's get the amulet. Like, we came here for the amulet. Let's get the amulet. She gets the amulet and she's feeling quite proud of herself.
Mm-hmm. I will say this is the second time, I think it's the third time someone's tried to drown Buffy. This is a pretty common tactic for vampires to use at this point. Mm-hmm. And I know we've talked before about, like, there has to have been another point in time where a Slayer has, like, something has happened to her and she's been brought back to life. I doubt it's just Buffy who's getting drowned all the time. Did a watcher just watch their Slayer be drowned and not do anything? Just like, and then she died in a puddle. Like,
well, when did Mouth to Mouth, like, when did that come about?
Even banging on somebody's chest, though, like, that can sometimes do something. Like, shake them, do something. Human, do something human, watcher.
In 1773, English physician William Hawes began publicizing the power of artificial respiration to resuscitate people who superficially appeared to have drowned.
So it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, this point was like 200 years, 200 years.
Yeah, so, and like, you know, watchers have to actually be, like, watching their slayers. Giles does go out on patrols with her sometimes. Like, they are there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So odds are that one would see their slayer be drowned. And if they live themselves, what are you doing, dude?
Well, maybe they didn't live them. I mean, I guess some of them did, but because the Watchers Council, Watchers Diaries. It, but anyways, so the Buffy can't, like, brings the amulet to Giles and Wesley, and then she says that she has to go to take a test that she has to pass, and she was supposed to have studied the night before with Willow and did not show up because, you know,
mission
and Faith and slaying, and she is just so excited to tell them about, like, this great fight that they had, and there were six of them and two of that, and she's going on and on, and like, okay, hey, time for exam, and she turns around, she's still talking even though they're supposed to be in the honor system not talking. And Willow's like, test. And Buffy's like, oh, sorry. And she turns to Xander and she's like, well, let me tell you. And he's like, no, really. Test. Like, pay attention to this test that we have to take.
Although every time that Buffy says the name Faith, Xander's eye twitches. And Buffy clocks that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm highly caffeinated.
But, I mean, they just last night had been two nights ago, had been having a conversation about having sex with Xander. So, like, is she not putting the two and two together?
I don't think so. I think Buffy is so wrapped up in her slaying high, she's not connecting that dot.
It's not even two dots. It is one dot. She can't connect.
Yeah, she's just over here. The dot's here, and she's nowhere near it. And of course, Willow can't connect it because she doesn't know about that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So Xander, or the teacher, even tells Buffy on point to shush, and then apparently leaves the room.
Yeah, honor system leaves the room.
Like, what is that teacher doing? Is she just like, I don't care about my job. I'm going to go have a snack.
And so then Faith just opens up the window and is like, hey, girlfriend. And like all the other students are like, what? Why, who are you? And why are you breaking into our classroom? And she draws this little heart with her breath. She does the breath and she has a little heart. And then instead of the arrow through it, she just does a little stake. And Buffy's like, okay, yeah. And she like just leaves the classroom, crawls through a window, much to Willow's horror.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, Willow, like this is the worst thing for her. Academic, like just walking out, abandoning your work. So Faith's idea here is actually pretty smart. Faith has found a nest. She wants to hit it during the daylight because there's a lot of them. That is a smart move.
Yep.
I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy should have gone after her test.
Yeah. Like
give me an hour. It'd still be sunlight.
And I wonder, like, you know, what time was this test? What time, you know, all this stuff. Because the next thing we see is it's nighttime after they've slain, you know, the vampires during the daytime. They're at the Bronze and it's nighttime and they are horny as all hell with boys and each other, and they're just really getting into dancing and grinding up on everyone. And then Angel walks in, and even more so than since Amends, all of a sudden they are flat out all over each other again, because Buffy jumps him like a pole and just wraps her legs around him. And
yeah, and Angel is like weary of all of this. I mean, he's not too thrilled that he just saw Buffy doing the sexy dance with all of those guys. And she's like, oh no, those are Faith's friends.
Yep.
Faith has no problem that Buffy has walked away, and she now has like three or four guys just like circling her.
Mm-hmm.
But Angel, you know, says Balthazar is alive. This new watcher is an idiot. And as he's saying, Wesley walks in as if he heard, like, someone's a idiot, meaning my name. And he's carrying the damn amulet on him. And Buffy's like, it's right here. It's poking out of your jacket. Like, it creates a bulge. And Wesley doesn't question who Angel is, has no idea, just lets Buffy give away this amulet. And then we go ahead and see, Buffy goes and grabs Faith and they go to leave. But then we finally see Balthazar, who is this giant pudding demon in a vat that has to be moistened constantly.
Yep.
Not the most intimidating. He doesn't look nice to look at, and he has a special ability where he can like suck you over to him and then snap your head.
Yeah. But, my old telekinesis, maybe, where he can like pull you to him
within like a certain distance, it seems. But yeah, he wasn't killed, but he was severely limited after an encounter with his enemy, which it goes into more later. But yeah, it's just not, we have not seen a demon that looks like Jabba the Hutt before. But we got one.
Yep.
So they. Sorry, just completely. Balthazar. They see Balthazar. The Slayers see this and realize like they have to do something. And there's a store that is closed because it's nighttime, late at night, that sells, I don't know if it's like a hunting store, but they sell weapons.
Sport and tackle. So yeah. Hunting and fishing, most likely.
Yeah.
And Faith breaks in and she's like, you know, I don't care. And Buffy is kind of, and I'm going to use this word for the act, like she's infatuated with Faith. Infatuated in the like, mentally little like intrigued and upset. And I'm not talking about like it's a sexual thing, but she is taken by Faith's recklessness and Faith's, you know, disregard. She's saying, want, take, have. And Buffy's like, I like this idea. And
I mean, it's a pretty clear thing right here, this whole episode, of what happens when you have a bad influence in your life. Faith is the bad influence. And Buffy is doing things she would not normally do. All teenagers, preteens, I think, have someone at some point in their circle who is a bad influence, and get someone to do things that are outside their comfort zone. Usually not to this scale, I would think, but this is, you know, Buffy experiencing that bad influence. And it's something we can all relate to. Granted, when I had a bad influence in my life, I was not, again, breaking into stores and just smashing glass and taking stuff.
Yep.
But, so the police show up and Buffy is horrified. She's like, oh yeah, this is why I don't behave this way. And Faith is like making sexual remarks to them and like just having a ball. They put them in handcuffs in the back of their squad car. And Faith is like, do you want to get out of here? You can't save the world from inside a jail cell. So they kick in the back cage onto the officers, causing them to crash. Buffy wants to call 911. Faith is like, somebody else has already done that. Let's get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. And these guys, and she's like, they're fine. And as she says that, the guys are like, oh, these officers, they're not fine.
Mm-hmm.
They have been in an accident. And for some reason, their airbags did not go off. But so they run away.
Do police cars have airbags?
I would think so. I think they would have to have that safety feature.
Because that disables the ability of the car to take certain hits. And aren't cars like that, police cars, designed to be able to take hits?
I don't know.
I am now asking the internet, do police cars have airbags?
I would think they would have to. Because in order to pass inspection, a vehicle needs to have, but it might be a different inspection for emergency vehicles.
Okay, so they're actually trained to do something called a pit maneuver. Which will not deploy the airbags when they need to use the car for ramming.
Okay. But they do have airbags.
Yes.
Okay. So the airbags in this vehicle should have gone off because they had no control. Like, they just veered off and hit a car.
Yeah.
But, so we skip to the next morning and Buffy is checking the paper to see if there was anything about what happened. And Joyce comes in and she just goes, admit it. And Buffy's like, what? And Joyce is like, some days you just want to say, screw the diet. Let's have waffles. Mm-hmm. And Buffy is not hungry. She does not want the waffles. And Joyce is very upset about this because Joyce wants the waffles and they only don't have calories unless she makes them for Buffy.
But Buffy is feeling guilt now. Buffy is starting to realize that maybe they've been pushing a little too hard towards the wild and reckless. Yep. And, you know, that's that kind of, you see, she's starting to lose her enamored feelings towards Faith.
Yeah. Because she's now seen the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Which so is then, funny because that's the next Joyce, episode's name is.
So Joyce is like, what's happening in Sunnydale today? Looking at the newspaper, and we flash to the newspapers doing an article on Mayor Wilkins meeting the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Yep. And then once they leave, he opens up, he like closes the blinds and lets Mr. Trick in. And then he goes to the liquor cabinet where he also keeps his skulls and things. And one of the Balthazar, like, acolytes bursts out and tries to kill him, mm-hmm. and is captured by Mr. Trick. And, you know, the mayor says, like, Alan, how did he get in here? And Alan's immediately like, oh, no, it wasn't me, And he doesn't believe that it was Alan.
Yeah.
But now we're kind of wondering,
was it Alan? Yeah.
Because Alan is having some concerns regarding what the mayor is doing.
Yes. I also really love that the mayor really enjoys his mayoral duties. Like, he says that, you know, those kids are the backbone of this country. Like, he's really into the Boy Scouts. He thinks it's great. He necessarily would not be a bad mayor if it wasn't for the fact that he had no soul, like, and he was he's not a bad public official, except for all of these other things.
All of the murdering, like even when he's looking at structures, he's in the sewers, and he's got some exposed gas lines. Like, let's look into this.
I mean, I plan on destroying this town in a few months, but in the meantime, the residents should be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back then to Balthazar in his tub, and he's pissed he knows that his vampire has failed. So he wants the others to bring him the Watchers, because that will bring the Slayers.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we go to Buffy's house, and Willow is at Buffy's, and she finally gives her the protection spell she'd been working on, which is Lavender Fresh now. And Willow's very proud of herself, because usually spells smell icky.
Yep.
That's a hard one to say like 7 times fast.
Spell smell icky. Yeah, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. And Willow says, you know, she might be the first Wicca to come out with her own line of nice smelling or minty fresh charms, basically. And Willow's supposed to go slaying with Buffy that night, and she's made herself her own satchel. And Buffy tells her no, like, she has to stay behind. She's going to be a liability. She has become Xander.
Except really, Buffy's trying to keep her away from Faith. And Willow doesn't recognize that yet. Although later they'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. But, and so Willow feels hurt that she's going off with Faith instead. And as they are approaching the warehouse, one by one, these like vampires keep attacking them. And it's so weird, because it's like, you know, bam, vampire, and they stake it. And bam, vampire, and they stake it. And Buffy says, you know, we're never going to reach the warehouse if they keep attacking us. And she's like, Faith says, well, we will if they keep doing it one by one, like the way that they have been. Mm-hmm. And so when it's Faith's turn to do the staking, Buffy throws Alan. And, you know, Faith goes in for the stake, and Buffy recognizes, hang on a second, that's not a vampire. Tries to tell her no. But Faith is already staked, and they realize, oh shit, this wasn't a vampire who jumped out at us, it was a human. Mm-hmm. And at this point, they don't know that he was an evil person. Like,
they don't know who he was.
He was just a guy.
Mm-hmm. A guy in a suit.
And, you know,
who appears to have like a little note in his pocket.
I didn't see it, but.
Yeah, it looks like, so when they pan down, like after he's died, they kind of like pan down his body. And it looked to me, it could have been like a weird like pocket protector or something, but it appears that he has like a little note in his pocket, which might have been what he was trying to grab at, but who knows.
Information for the Slayers regarding one Mayor Wilkins.
Yeah. And while this is all going on, Giles and Wesley are grabbed by vampires as well. Now, Wesley has just been going on and on about how insulting Giles, and about how he is the Watcher and how he needs to be recognized as it. And Giles is like, good, start now. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they are under pressure, not even under pressure. Like, Wesley just breaks. He gives, tells them all the information they want. And Giles is like, shut the hell up. How did you get here?
Yep.
Like, immediately.
I mean, he's like, rip out his kneecaps. Giles was legit tortured and didn't break.
Nope.
You know, Wesley gets, like, told about torture.
And not even really what they're going to do. We're going to remove your kneecaps. Well, here's all the information you need, except I don't have the information that you need. That one does, and he's not breaking. But the Faith and Buffy split up when after Alan Finch is killed. And Faith circles back around Finch, and whereas Buffy runs into Angel, and Angel catches the blood on her hand. But he has something very pressing to tell her, which is that the Balthazar and his goons have Giles. No one cares about Wesley.
Yep.
So they go, and when Wesley is trying to say, like, oh, a friend of Buffy's has the amulet. Well, what's his name? Oh, shoot, I didn't actually get his name. And Angel walks in. This is the coolest thing Angel's ever done. He comes in vamp face and goes, his name is Angel. And he, like, struts. yeah, and it's just like, this is the Angel. Because, like, Angel and Buffy is not cool.
Angel
is cool, and this is where we first start to see that Angel, like, that walk, that angle that they do, that is, like, that is 100% what we're going to see when Angel starts, and it's just great. His name is Angel, and the fighting begins. So we have Buffy and Angel kicking butt while Giles gets Wesley over. They unties both of them. Wesley cowers. Giles fights and slays, and Wesley cowers and shakes and probably pees a little bit, I imagine. And as this is all going on, Angel gets a little too close in the, like, where Balthazar can suck. Yeah, in his suck radius, and does a little woo 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 thing, and that's the sound I imagine it would make based on the look of the air. And he goes flying backwards, and he starts trying to suck Angel's brain or break his head, whatever it is he does. Buffy sees it and electrocutes him. But not Angel, which I'm pretty sure if you're electrocuting, you're touching someone.
Well, because Angel's not alive.
True.
Like, Angel, the demon is not a vampire. He's a demon.
Yeah.
And so he can die. His heart can short out. Mm-hmm. Like, electrocution really, shocks your heart. Like, that's the problem. Angel doesn't have a beating heart, so.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, it might cause him pain, but it's not going to kill him. But before he dies, Balthazar says, when he rises, you'll wish I'd killed you all.
Yeah.
So, someone is going to rise. And we flash to the mayor.
Chanting. Finishes the chant, notes that Alan is missing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's usually so punctual. How strange. And then gives the dueling cult vampire who's still alive but in a cage his sword and says to Trick, open the cage. And so he does, and cult vampire tries to slice him down the middle. Is the mayor full of bugs? Or is it?
It was just like black tendrils that filled him back up.
So I was like, are you Oogie Boogie?
I had that feeling too, but no, he's just like black tendrils of like evilness that like sucks back together. And he says that he is invincible. And it's interesting because like he pulls out his checklist and it's got things like call temp agency and like, you know,
ETA meeting,
and then become invincible, and he just checks it off his list.
All very neatly written in this nice, perfect handwriting, all perfectly straight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then of course Trick slays that other vamp. Yeah.
And so they go celebrate by getting a root beer.
Yep. And like Trick laughs at this. He likes soda.
Yeah.
So
we know that in his very first episode.
Mm-hmm. And Faith is doing laundry in her sink, specifically washing the shirt from the murder the night before in the mm-hmm. sink. When Buffy shows up, Faith lets her in and Buffy sees what she's doing. And Buffy's like, Faith, you need help. Like, we have to talk about this. And Faith says she does not need help. She's never talking about this again. In fact, this is the last thing she's going to say. That, you know, nothing happened and they need to forget about it. And there is no body anymore. She said she found it. She weighted it down, which it took me forever to figure out what she meant by I weighted it. And I was like, eh? And she dumped it. Yeah. She did the mafia thing, basically.
She's from Boston.
Yep. Buffy says to her, like, Faith, you don't get it. You killed a man. And Faith says, no, you don't get it. I don't care.
Which, of course, when we see Faith, when she went back to look at the body, you could see she did care. Yep. But she is now cutting herself off from that part of her emotion. And this is a part where it's a huge turning point for Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it... Sorry about that. Someone tried to call me and it was spam. there's this huge turning point where she could go in one of two directions here. And she is cutting herself off and continuing down that self-destructive path. And
we've passed through self-destructive if she goes down that. It's just destructive because she's taking others out with her.
Yeah.
Both metaphorically and physically taking them out.
Yeah.
And we'll get more of a taste of the next two episodes are important, specifically the next one, Consequences, in yes. Faith's development and what path she will take. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is where this episode ends, making everyone in the 90s grip onto their seats and go, why isn't there a service where I can just watch all of these at one go?
Right? So next week we'll be discussing Consequences and Doppelgangland.
Welcome back, Evil Willow.
Woo. Yep. Vamp Willow making another comeback.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how we love her. Oh, how Joss loves her.
Enough to bring her back.
That's why that episode was written.
So thank you very much for just jostling with me. I do have one last thing to say. I hunted the previous episodes regarding Willow's balcony and Willow's patio. And it says that it is a two-story house. It does not say what story Willow's bedroom is on. It just says that it is backed onto a patio that allows Angel and Buffy to enter. So you could be right. It could be like a second floor patio area.
Yeah. I don't know. It very well may be the first floor. I just think that that's a terrible design plan, but
yeah.
Also, if Willow is your child, I guess it's not.
Well, again, I looked up, you know, iRobot You Jane, all these different episodes, and could not see, you know, even when you go to amends, they never really show the extended part. Mm-hmm. And so you can't really see what, you know, where exactly it is. And I was interested to see if we could to find it out. Could not. So
I appreciate you doing the homework, Willow. Okay. All right, well, we will see you all back in the Hellmouth next week.
All right, bye.